If you've got a Bible with you tonight, I want to encourage you to open it with me to a couple of places. I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture tonight as we begin to kind of lead us into our lesson tonight. Lord willing, next week we're going to start a new series. I've titled it, Oh the Bliss, and I pulled those words from that beautiful hymn that we sing. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, that my sin, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. And so as we start that study next week, we're going to explore what God does with your sin. As a believer, what does God do with our sin? That was the thought that captured Horatio Spafford as he penned that beautiful verse and the bliss that it brought him as he realized how God had dealt with his sin through the gospel of Christ. And so we're going to jump into that next week, and that'll carry us for a few weeks, probably through the first part of the year, at least into the springtime. But tonight, I want us to just think a little bit about what I think is probably a very practical aspect of our faith. One of the things that we do every Wednesday night when we gather, and that is praying, and particularly how we can pray for those who are sick. If you look in our prayer guide, it's generally one of the most populated areas of the prayer guide, those who are sick. And we could take all the time tonight and just mentioning those who are sick and the suffering that they're facing and the trial that they're walking through. Well, how do we approach that from a biblical perspective? And how can we best pray for them? How can we pray for those who are suffering, those who are walking in sickness? So I want us to think about that tonight, kind of guide our time, and then we'll conclude tonight by praying over our prayer guide, and then we'll move into our business meeting for this evening as well. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And then John chapter 11. And then 2 Corinthians 12. Romans 8, John 11, and 2 Corinthians 12. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading with verse 18. And if you're there, follow along as I read and hear God's word. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let me just pause right here before we go to John 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And in these words, we hear him mentioning what we are all well aware of, that we face and feel the brokenness of this world. And we feel it many times in our very bodies. Paul says that all creation is groaning under the brokenness and the burden of sin. That our world has been subjected to sin through Adam's disobedience. And all of creation feels the effects of that. That's an amazing statement to me. Especially when you stop and think about some of the beautiful places that we go to in our world. Some of the beautiful things that we see and witness. But yet still to remember that that is placed under the brokenness of sin. And then Paul, on the heels of that, says it's not just creation that groans, but it's the Christian as well. We also groan. We groan because we feel the brokenness. We feel the burden. We long for the redemption of our bodies, he says. So what Paul is writing about here is something that is common to every single believer. We all face this. We all feel this. Contrary to what many might believe, being a Christ follower, being a Christian, does not eliminate from us or for us the burden of living in this broken world, nor does it excuse us or deliver us from the burdens of having broken bodies. Paul experienced that, as we'll see in just a moment, and you and I will as well. So go with me now to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. In John 11, we have the story of the death of Lazarus and the wonderful resurrection that he experienced through the call of Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. But I want us to begin in the first few verses of the chapter, because this is what I want us to see in relation to our topic tonight. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Don't miss that. He whom you love is ill. There's no separation of the love of God from an illness that you might be experiencing. They knew Jesus loved Lazarus, and likewise, Lazarus is ill. The illness of Lazarus did not mean that Jesus did not love him. A lot of times we think, well, where's the love of God when I'm walking in this trial? Does God not care for me? Does God not love me? Is he not compassionate towards me? No, he is. He loves us even in our illness. Verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Here at the very outset of this story of Lazarus, Jesus kind of turns everything on its head. He gives us an understanding of how we should think of illness, of sickness, of suffering. Really, he gives us the way that we should think about everything in life. Even our sick moments, even the seasons of suffering that we go through, they are for the glory of God. We're going to talk about this as we go through our time tonight in a little bit more detail, but don't miss that. He whom you love is sick. And Jesus says that sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, that is, the vision that he was given, caught up into paradise, the Lord revealing to him some glorious things, Paul says, because of that, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this, again, is Paul's own testimony. Perhaps the greatest preacher and missionary and evangelist the world has ever known experienced a prolonged season of physical suffering as a work of God in his life, that the power of God may be on display in him. And so as we think about these passages that we've looked at tonight, I want us to think about sickness from a biblical standpoint. Think about sickness from a biblical standpoint and how we can best pray for those who are suffering in sickness, seasons of sickness, and maybe even yourself as you walk through those moments. We begin with the reality that we've already touched on, that physical suffering and sickness is part of the world that we live in. Sin has impacted us deeply. None are immune. So how then can we best view suffering and use suffering that God is glorified? So I want us to start tonight by thinking about this question: why sickness? Why sickness? Or how does God use sickness in our lives? Why does God allow it? How does God use it? Let me give you a couple of reasons. Number one, we've mentioned it, so I won't stay here too long. God uses sickness for his glory. For his glory. This is John 11. The sickness is for the glory of God. We may not always understand how. We may not always get the why. But we can know that in every situation, even in great sickness and suffering, that God is at work, that his glory may be seen, that his glory may be on display. This is even what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, that testimony that he gave. As he saw a relief from the physical suffering that he was experiencing, the Lord's will for Paul was that that would remain in order that Paul might know the glory of the sufficient grace of God in his life. So sickness is a way in which God's glory can be put on display. So why sickness? Well, one possible answer to that is for God's glory. Secondly, why sickness? Because sometimes in sickness, God uses it to draw us close to him, to produce intimacy with him. I think the premier biblical example of this is the story of Job in the Old Testament. Job faced many afflictions. One of those afflictions was physical suffering. The Lord allowed Satan to wreck his body. He was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He suffered emotionally as well, all kinds of things going on in his life. And when we get to the end of Job chapter 42, at the conclusion of this matter, what we discover is that in all of those moments where Job is wrestling with the why and where are you and what's going on in this season, at the end of it, Job is just brought close to God. He says, I'm reminded of who you are, that no plan of yours can be thwarted. I've said things that I'm not going to say anymore. I'm put my hand over my mouth. He repents in dust, cloth, and ashes, and he returns to some sweet intimacy and fellowship with God. Sometimes that's what God does through our sickness. When we're sick and when we walk through seasons of sickness, it has a way of changing our routine, of slowing us down, of altering our norm. And it's in that moment where God can really begin to impress upon us some reminders, some realizations of, hey, this is who I am. And this is who you are, and this is what I'm wanting to do in your life. And in that, it's an opportunity for us to draw close to God, to restore fellowship, or to be drawn deeper in to intimacy with him. So sometimes sickness is for God's glory. Sometimes it's an opportunity to produce intimacy. Sometimes we face sickness in order that we may be able to comfort others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul there writes about the afflictions that we face and how as we go through those seasons of affliction, as we learn of God's faithfulness, as we learn of God's presence in those moments and how he has worked in our lives in those situations, we're then able to bless and to encourage and to help others who walk through those same seasons as well. So sometimes as we walk through seasons of sickness and suffering, it better equips us to come alongside others who will face similar seasons in their lives. It's a means of God equipping us to be able to bless others. And a lot of times we don't think about that with our sickness. We get so caught up in just the personal aspect of it, which is not necessarily wrong. It's you who's sick, right? Your body's the one that's feeling that. But know that God's going to use that and can use that so that you can be a blessing to others as well. Number four, sickness is a means of God refining us. It shapes us. In Romans 8, the end of that chapter where we read a little bit earlier, Paul reminds us of that great promise that we know all these things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So Paul says very clearly that everything, all things work together for good. And Paul goes on to give us an understanding of what that good is. And that good is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So in our sickness and in seasons of suffering that we may go through, God is using even that to shape us into the image and likeness of his Son. It's a season and a tool in his hands that he can use to take away some things that he might need to add some things that he might need to take a little here, to add a little there, but ultimately to fashion us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So sickness is a refining tool that God can utilize in our lives. Sickness refines us. Number five, sickness softens our hearts and humbles us. Sickness softens our hearts and humbles us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, that he was given this thorn in the flesh that he may not be conceited. It was a means that the Lord could use to keep pride from growing in his life, from taking root in his heart. And sickness has a way of doing that to us. It reminds us that we are not invincible. It reminds us that there are some things that are outside of our control. And in those moments and in those occasions, our hearts can begin to soften toward the Lord and the work that he is wanting to do in our lives. Sometimes it's through sickness that those who are far away from God or don't know him, that their hearts are softened then to a point where they will hear the gospel, consider the words of Scripture, and perhaps even turn and receive Christ in repentance and faith. So sickness is a way in which God can soften our hearts and humble us before him. And then last, and on the heels of that one, sickness reminds us of our fragility. When we're sick, especially in some instances where it's a hard season, a difficult sickness, we're reminded that our life here isn't permanent. It has a way of putting before us our mortality. And the reality is that every one of us at some point or the other has an appointment that we're gonna keep. And we're wise to live our lives with that appointment in mind. To know that it's appointed unto man once to die, the Hebrew writer says, and after that, judgment. If we'll live with that in mind, it means that we'll live in preparation for judgment. To stand before God and know that we'll give account before Him, to make sure that we're ready to stand in His presence. Well, sickness is a means that reminds us of that. That if we're not consciously thinking that, hey, this day is coming and I'm not going to be here forever, sickness has a means of calling us to that and that realization. Man, what do I need to do to be prepared? What do I need to do to make sure I'm ready? What do I need to do to be able to give a good account before the Lord? So sickness is a means in which God reminds us of the fragility which we have in this life. The life, as James says, is but a mist. Here today and then gone tomorrow. So as we think about sickness and the reality that it touches all of us, those are some of the ways in which God is at work in it. Now, let's bring it a little bit closer to home and in connection with what we do here on Wednesday nights. How can we minister to those who are in seasons of sickness? What does the Bible say that we can do to encourage, to support, to pray for those who are facing suffering and sickness? Let me give you, how many I got here? Three things that we can do. Number one, visit with them. Visit with them. Matthew 25, Jesus there, speaking of, again, the end of days and the rewards that are awaiting those who have served well. He says, I was sick, and you what? Visited me. I was sick, and you visited me. Now, I realize that visitation in our day and time has kind of been changed drastically for a lot of reasons, COVID being one of them, all right, our culture being one of them. Some of you grew up in a culture and maybe in a location where just dropping by and sitting down, it's just the thing that you did with somebody. It's a little bit of a different world now, all right? So as we think about visiting with them, sure, it can mean going by and checking in, sitting down and having a conversation, but it could also mean just reaching out, touching base, letting them know that you're thinking of them, visiting with them. How can we minister to those in seasons of sickness? Jesus says, I was sick and you visited me. Secondly, we can offer words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. Now, I've been doing this for a long time, and what I'm referring to is ministry, and in pastoral ministry, there's a lot of things that are involved, and a lot of that sometimes is in connection with those who are walking in seasons of suffering and in sickness, and trying to look out for them the best that you can. And one of the things that I feel like I never do adequately enough is finding the words to say. And what I've realized is I really don't have the words to say. And the truth is, none of us really have the words to say. What do we say when somebody's in a hard season, a long season? What do we say when it's a terminal illness? And unless the Lord intervenes in a divine matter, we know what the outcome's going to be. What do we say? Well, we can still give words of encouragement if we'll speak the words of God. I've learned that the best words that I can give to someone are not my words, but God's word. Share a verse of scripture, share a passage that they can think on. Share with them hope from the God of all hope. Share with them Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Share with them Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Share with them what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 12, that in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. Share with them the hope of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, the words of Scripture. So how can we minister to those in sickness? Visit with them, offer words of encouragement to them, words from Scripture. And then third, and this is where I wanted us to land tonight, pray for them. Pray for them. How can we pray for those who are sick? How can we pray for those who are sick? So I want to give you three categories to think about. First of all, pray for them physically. After all, they're suffering physically. Suffering physically. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, James deals with this aspect of praying for those who are sick. He says, if you are sick, you call for the elders of the church and have them come and pray for you. Praying for the physical sickness that is present, that they're suffering from and dealing with. So as we pray for the sick, we want to pray for healing. God, it's our request, it's our desire, it's our petition, it's our longing that they would see recovery. That the treatment, the rehab, the surgery, the medicine, whatever it is, Lord, that they're undertaking, God, that these things would be successful in restoring them to health. After all, this is what we see Jesus doing so often in his earthly ministry, right? He's restoring what the curse of sin has broken. Lives that are sick, he makes whole. Those who are lame, he heals. Those who are deaf, he gives hearing to. Those who are blind, he opens their eyes. This is ultimately where we're going in a new creation. We will be forever healed physically with glorified bodies. So we pray for that now. We long for that. We ask for that. And I think that's right. I don't think that it's incorrect to pray for that. So as we think about praying for them physically, pray for their healing, pray as well for God's strength to be displayed in their lives, for God's strength to be displayed in their lives. This again was what Paul taught us in 2 Corinthians 12, as he prayed, Lord, that the thorns should be removed, that he could experience healing. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly of my sickness so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Paul's prayer then changed from take this away from me to let your power be upon me. So as we pray for them physically in their suffering, we pray, God, let your power rest upon them. The sufficiency of your grace, strengthen and encourage them. So we pray for their healing. We pray for God's strength to be displayed. In connection with that, pray for those who are serving them and caring for them. I think it's always something to be mindful of, whether that's doctors or nurses, whether it's family members. In some seasons of suffering, those who go through it for long seasons, those family members and caregivers are there alongside them, and you've been there, and you know that can be a very difficult season for them as well. So we pray for them also. So we pray for physical healing. And then secondly, we want to pray for their emotional well-being. Their emotional well-being. And I think this is what we need to remember as we're praying for those who are sick, that it's not merely the physical. That it's not just the physical that we need to focus on. God's not just doing a work in their bodies, but God's doing a work on their inner man as well. He's working to shape and to fashion them into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so we need to be mindful of that and pray that as they're walking through these things that we can see that transpire. And one of those areas is emotional. We pray that they would experience God's comfort and that they would know God's peace. Pray for God to give comfort to them. He is the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:4. And pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would be present in their lives, Philippians 4:8. So we pray that they would know this and experience this in their spirit, God's comfort and God's peace. And then third, we want to pray for them spiritually. Spiritually. And I think this is probably the most sometimes forgotten aspect of how we pray for those who are suffering with sickness. So as we pray spiritually for them, we want to pray that their faith in Christ would remain firm. You hear me pray that often as we pray for those who are sick on Wednesday night. I pray it for all of you nearly every Sunday as well as we go, let our faith in Christ be firm. And in that moment of sickness, that season of sickness that the individual is going through, it is a revealing of their faith and where their faith is and what it is in. And so we pray, Lord, let their faith in Christ be firm. Let it be proved genuine. Let it remain steadfast. Let them remain focused upon Him. We can pray that they would find their contentment in Christ. That they would find their contentment in Christ. A lot of times when you walk through a long season of suffering, it's easy to grow frustrated and discontented with what you're having to face and to walk through. And I'm not trying, don't mistake me tonight. I'm not saying that seasons of sickness are easy. They're absolutely not. They're hard seasons and difficult seasons, and it brings all kinds of struggles that are real, pain that is real. But ultimately, we want to still rest in Christ. And we want to pray that that individual would find their contentment in Christ, not in their circumstance, not in their season, but rather in their Savior. So we pray, Lord, let them find joy in Jesus. And then lastly, pray the gospel. Pray the gospel. And the glorious good news of the gospel is that one day sickness will be no more. In Revelation 21, as John was given that glorious vision of a new heaven and a new earth, he said explicitly that there in that glorious place, there is no more sickness. And sometimes I think the Lord has us suffer a little bit here physically so that we can cut the ties, we can cut the cords that we've attached ourselves to in this world. That it creates a longing within us to say, God, I long for a day where that's no more. Well, there's no more COVID or cancer or Alzheimer's or dementia. Lord, I long for a place where there's no sorrow or sickness, and death itself will be forever vanquished. God, I long for that place. So as we pray for those who are in those seasons, we pray the gospel for them. God, let them set their thoughts, their affections on things that are above. So tonight, I want us to end by praying for those who are sick. We'll pray for them on our prayer guide, and we'll work our way through the rest, and then we'll get ready to go into our business meeting tonight. So I'm going to lead us in this time of prayer. And I would just ask you to join with me and pray there as you're sitting in the pew. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that we've had the opportunity to hear your word. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would, Lord, write these words upon our hearts, Lord, to help us think well and right about suffering and sickness. And Father, what a joy it is to know that you never waste a season in our lives. That you're at work in every moment, in every circumstance, in every situation. Father, even when we're suffering, even when we're sick, even when we're walking through long seasons of great trials. And Father, we find comfort and hope and encouragement in that. That yes, those who you love, they will grow ill. But Lord, you're such an awesome God that you can take that illness, that sickness, and use it for our good and your glory. And Father, we find great encouragement in that tonight. And Lord, tonight I pray for these who are on our prayer guide, Lord, that have these physical needs. There are many names who are fighting against cancer. And Lord, that's not an easy thing. It's not a quick thing. It's seasons and seasons of treatments and doctor's visits and prognosis and medications and awaiting results. And God, there's so much. The physical toil, the anxiety, God, the concern. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be near to them. That, Lord, in this moment of their lives, God, that their fellowship with you, their intimacy with you, their awareness of your presence, God, would perhaps be greater than it has ever been. We pray, Father, that you would use this moment, God, to refine them, God, to shape them into the image of your Son. God, we do pray for their healing. God, we pray that whatever treatments they may be receiving, whatever medications that may be administered, God, we pray that all of these things would, Father, bring about healing and remission and recovery. And Father, we thank you for those amazing things that you have blessed us with. But our faith, our hope, it rests in you, O Lord. And Father, we pray that your strength would be on display. God, that even in weakness, even in the frailty of a season of suffering, God, that the power of Christ would be evident in these individuals' lives. And Father, we pray not only for those who are fighting cancer, but Lord, for the others. On our prayer guide, we pray for Miss Barbara Bedgood and the rehab that she'll be receiving, for Miss Barbara Hill. I pray for Miss Deanna Hansard, Miss Linda, Mr. Richard. Pray for Sandy and Pat Combs, Pat Mahaney, God, all of the others. Lord, there are numerous ones. And Father, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, let the gospel be an encouragement to them. Your present help in their time of need, God, strengthen and help them. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would, God, use this season to do a great work in their lives, that their faith in you, O Lord, would be firm. Their contentment, their joy in Jesus, God, it would be full. And Father, we pray that at the end of it all, Lord, you would be glorified. In every doctor's visit, in every surgery, every recovery, Father, in every situation, the name of Christ would be lifted high. And Father, we pray for not only these, but our homebound and assisted living members. God, we pray be with them in this season of their life. God, we pray that you would watch over them and keep them, Father, in your care. And Father, we pray that they would continue to look to you as well. Lord, we pray for our church tonight. God, help us to be a people who are purposely pursuing you. God, a people who are passionate for your glory. And Father, I pray that you would be at work among us in every member, in every ministry. Father, that your power would be on display in our lives. And Lord, that we would be a light shining in this community, that others may come to know you as well. And Father, we pray for our country tonight. We lift our leaders to you and pray, God, that you would give them wisdom and wise counsel. They would lead and govern us in ways that would be right before you and for the well-being of our nation. And Father, we pray, God, for revival in our nation. We pray, God, for awakening in our nation. Lord, we see the proliferation of sin. We see the work of the enemy, God. We see the moral decay. God, there's no blushing over sin. And God, we long, God, to see a move of God. And Father, we pray, God, that you would stir it in a mighty way, God, in your people, in your church, here in our country again. Father, be with our teachers and students as they go to their classrooms. God, watch over them, protect them, God. Give them safety and boldness that they would live for you. We pray for our first responders and military personnel. God, keep them in your care as well. And God, all that they do, we pray that you would watch over them. And Father, we do pray for the advancement of the kingdom. We pray for your will to be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray for our ministry partners, Pauline Pregnancy and Helping Hands and Capital Commission. We pray for the Valhalla family and New City Church and Emmanuel Community Church and the work there in Ecuador. God, bless these ministries, their ministers, and God, their laborers. Father, we pray that you would use them, God, in just amazing ways to make an eternal difference, God, in the communities and the locations that you have planted them in. And Father, we pray again for the lost. We pray earnestly for their salvation, Lord. God, we pray that they would hear the gospel. God, we pray they would not find rest, that they would not be at ease. We pray, Father, for strong conviction from your Holy Spirit, God, to be impressed upon their hearts that they stand in need of a Savior because they're sinners before a holy God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that they would turn to Christ, turning from their sin and trusting in him and be saved. And Father, again, we thank you, God, for allowing us to spend time in your word tonight. And Father, help us to be faithful in praying for those who are walking through seasons of suffering. And Lord, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.